This Sunday. Every Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yeah. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves.
Yeah, we're straightening the curves on Motormouth Radio today, Long Island's only automotive talk show. And you say, well, why, Ray? Why would you be playing Waylon Jennings and the Dukes of Hazzard music? And my friend Bill over here didn't ask me that, but we know why, because it's Duke's Day in the studio. We're going to have, we have our good friend Bill Wondolowski in the studio with us, and Mr. Tom Sarmento will be our guest through Zoom, as long as this works out. So, how are you, Chris? Say hi to Bill.
And by the way, you're Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer, this is Motormouth Radio.
Thank you for
fine,
that.
Upstanding Sunday Duke's Day.
Yes.
Man, you're saying that every Sunday is not Duke's Day?
Well,
in my house it is, just so you guys
Yeah. We do a lot of different things. Yeah, we're all over the place, unfortunately.
Bill, you still have your charger, correct?
I certainly do.
You do, huh?
Nice.
What was, have you been taking it out, showing it off?
Just recently, I've been taking it out and driving it, and I had to get it inspected the other day. We had the carburetor rebuilt last fall.
Ah, okay.
So,
what carburetor's on that engine, Bill?
It's a 770 Street Avenger.
Okay, that's a, you have a 440 in that car, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Now, just to fill in the uninitiated here, you have an exact reproduction of the General Lee Charger. I mean, and this is, I've seen repos before. Yours has got to be the most detail correct version of that car, down to, and I remember you pointing it out to me, down to the Cobra CB radio that was in it.
Absolutely. No,
correct?
Everything, every detail, you know, certainly wasn't overlooked, from the interior color, the paint on the outside, the primer underneath. I mean, you name it, it was very, very, you know, a lot of attention to detail, and I got a lot of compliments. I mean, of course, Tom, you know, I'm very blessed, because Tom, it's my car is his favorite car to drive. You know, if he ever has to, you know, he typically does not like to drive people's cars, you know, in the event that they break.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, my car he loves to drive, and he knows that he could essentially beat it up. And you know, the more that car, the more you beat on it, the car just says, give me more. I want more.
You know? Yeah, I remember. Now, you've been part of our show for many years already, and so we kind of went through this. You already had that car when we met you, but I know it's quite the laborious process to build it, and not everybody can do what you did because of some of the connections you have to get the correct stuff. A lot of guys have to fake it, you know, and hey, they do what they got to do, so I don't take anything away from them. But you did do, you know, like you talk about a nut and bolt restoration, you did a, you know, CB and, you know, and gun rack.
You name it. I mean, I have the bows and arrows in the back, you know, our Martin Warthog, bows and arrows. I did, like I said, the correct CB, you know, which is the 78X, you know, CB, the correct teardrop antenna. The push bar is in the right spot. I mean, it's everything is to spec.
Details.
And, yeah, all exact details, which are very, very important to me. you know, and it was great because when I finally got to meet John Schneider and he looked at my car and he says, hey, he goes, this looks great. So I said, thank you. And he goes, how many of these cars you build? Because a lot of Duke's guys, they're, you know, they build several of them. And he goes, most people have to get to about, you know, five or six to get where you're at. And I said, well, he goes, I built plenty of them. So I said, thank you. So it was a nice compliment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like I said, very, very blessed because, like I said, my car is the one that Tom prefers to drive. And right. For Tom's book, which he's going to be talking about, guess whose car is on the cover of that book?
Uh-huh.
So very blessed. And there's pictures inside. You know, so it's been used for a lot of different photo ops, a lot of different things.
Yeah.
We used it for in Maine when Corey Eubanks did the rollover with the sheriff car. They used my car in the chase scene, and nice. Tom was driving a General Lee, and Corey was driving the sheriff car,
uh-huh.
And it was great. And you know, it was kind of cool. So I mean, it's got a lot of history like that. A lot of cool things. I mean, you know, a lot of General Lee owners, you know, out there have their car, and they, you know, they have a lot of specific stories. But I have a lot of specific things that I can, you know, that I can tell my grandkids, you know, and say this is how cool this car is. You know, so
yeah, I was watching some media on YouTube recently where Tom made an appearance, and it was funny because he comes in the room, they pan back, and the room was just. All guys like our age and older, all white, you know, white mm-hmm. hair, and like, you know, and I'm saying, wow, that's good. Canes, like, that's great. Unfortunately, I'd like to see kids in the front row, you know, who were.
Well, I will tell you that there still are kids that are into the Dukes.
Uh-huh.
In fact, a kid, and I took pictures, and I'll show you guys the pictures. A kid came into the bank two doors down from the deli that I used to own,
mm-hmm.
and he had Confederate flag boots on. And
whoa.
I'm like, whoa! You know, so I'm looking, and they had 01 on the back.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, oh, he's a Dukes fan. I said, hey, buddy, great boots. And he looks at me, and he's like,
right.
you're Billy Wondolowski.
Oh,
I said, I am. Oh, yeah, he
oh, okay.
You know, so I said, yeah, he goes, you really have the General Lee? And he was 17 years old. He went to Eastport South Manor High School. Super, super nice kid. I started talking to him. I showed him pictures of my car.
Yeah.
And he goes, I've heard that it's really true, though. I said, buddy, it's true. So I put together a whole, you know, bunch of pictures and posters and things that I've had because I still have posters that belong to Tom that are in my basement,
right.
You know, that that my wife says, get this stuff out of here.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But I have a lot of signed stuff. And I said, I gave him, I know I had a hat. I gave him a hat. I gave him, you know, a couple of things. And I said, you know, check back with me. I said, because I got I got a whole gift package for you there, buddy.
You know, also on the Thursday night show, the Play and Traffic show I do, there's guys that are involved with Duke's other stuff and stunts and whatnot, stunt shows. And we were talking about it one night, and it was the first time we talked about it. So, you know, you want to legitimize yourself and like, hey, I'm not just pulling this stuff out of a magazine and spouting. So I went over to my bookshelf and I grabbed this stack of 8x10 pictures that you and Tom and Don Pedro and all these guys, you know, and Enos had given me. And they're all autographed, and I said, oh, well, look at this. And I'm holding up these 8x10s to the camera, and the guy's like, where'd you get that? I'm like, kind of handed it to me in person, buddy. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, kind of, we're walking the walk here, you know, we're not just talking the talk.
That's right.
So, yeah, when you can legitimize, it's great. So are we getting messages from
we are.
From okay, what's happening with
I'm going to find out right now.
Yeah, okay. Bill will now diagnose Tom's. Tom's got to come in with us on a Zoom meeting, so
okay.
We'll work on that.
Very good.
By the way, Chris, a note for you. I did see our good friend Joe Glogley over at Tire Town yesterday.
Oh, yes.
I had to stop in, and I'll be seeing him again on Monday. And
a celebrity to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Smoking Joe.
Well, the winningest modified driver. Yeah.
Anyone that went to Freeport Municipal Stadium knows who Smoking Joe is.
Right, right. So
yeah.
What's up, Billy? Got news? I think Tom's having some trouble.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, just click on that. Join meeting, yep.
Yeah, join meeting. Okay, Bill's working on it with him. Well, anyway, the talk turned to somebody was looking for a car, and he was talking, you know, big cars. I said, hey, Joe, I know you were the Newport guy. You always drove Newport. You didn't smoke Newports, but you drove the Newports.
Okay. Right.
And I said, Chris has a C-body. You know, it's a Newport that was a conversion to a 300. I said, and he goes, you want to sell it? And I said, he may just want to sell it. So,
sure.
You want to get rid of that car? You talk to Joe. You share his info. And
Chris.
Now we're on Tom Salmento.
Hey, for sound?
Yep, we got Tom. We got him.
We got you, Tom.
Yeah.
I don't have you.
Oh, he doesn't hear us.
You don't hear us.
I don't have any audio.
Okay.
Let's see.
Hey, Tom, check and see if there's a mute button on yours. You may have a mute.
But he's not hearing us, so you might want to text him that.
Maybe the other way around. Right, exactly. Yeah. He's not hearing us, so you have to text him.
I'll say there's a couple shows I watch, YouTube feeds, where guys do stuff like this, and every single one of them have trouble like this with guests coming in, either not with audio. And it's very, very common. So
it's the joy of live radio.
We just have to work through it, that's all. But
yes.
Once we get off the ground, you can call us at 516-572-7440. I don't have a light. I have to remember to look at the phone. So, again, I may miss the call, but I'll try my darndest.
Yes, because we are trying
I got you guys now.
All right, we're in.
Hey!
Okay, Tom.
What happened?
Good afternoon, Mr. Sarmento.
Welcome to Motor Mouth Radio.
Man, instructions would have been good. you know who you're dealing with. You know, like I tell Billy, I'm a dinosaur when it comes to computers.
Yeah.
But
well,
you recover quickly, which is awesome.
Yes. Well, good job.
We tried. I even got here early.
Excellent.
So where are you coming? Where are you broadcasting from us presently? Because I know you've been all over the world.
I'm from actually Mint Hill or Charlotte, North Carolina.
Right. And that's where you are now? That's where you're talking to us now? Great, because I know you were globetrotting. I was following you on Facebook. You were all over the place from last I remember.
Yeah, I saw a video from you in Holland.
Right? You're holding up a Texas license plate.
That's for you there, Chris.
DLW.
Hold it up one more time. Hold it up one more time.
DLW 731.
For me, DLW
739.
1971.
Mm-hmm.
DLW 739. I'm drawing a blank, Tom. What is that?
You shouldn't. You said it was one of your favorite movies.
Oh, remember? Yes, I remember that. When
should we remind him?
Give me
60 seconds.
Yeah. No.
No. It's not.
It was an obscure movie. It was kind of obscure.
It wasn't Vanishing Point.
No, it was an obscure movie that you pulled on Tom, and he remembered, obviously.
Holy smoke, now you got me.
Got yourself.
Look at that. We stumped the guy who's 59 Cadillac.
Texas, DLW. Oh,
59 Cadillac.
A what?
Kevin Costner.
Oh, that's right.
Come on.
I got it.
No, you don't. Come on.
Fandango.
There it is.
Yeah.
Finally.
There you go.
That's the Fandango license plate.
Yes, off the Cadillac.
Wow, that's cool.
Holy
that you have that.
Holy smokes, that's right. Oh, you brought it all back to me.
Well, you were very proud of yourself.
I had even more hair back in that day.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It all fell out trying to solve these problems.
Right. Yes, you know. It's good to have you both, seeing you guys both again. I think the last time we talked, I was in Ireland.
That's correct.
Yes.
You called us from Ireland, I think, a couple times.
At the State Parade.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we did an interview with all the people.
We had 14 people on the show from Ireland. Everybody, I think they all had pints in their hands. It was great.
That was great.
Yeah.
What did you ended up, there were General Lee replicas out there as well, weren't there?
Yeah, I was using Nicky Fagans from Trim. He lives in the county of Meath. And he's right there where the Trim Castle is. And where we, our interview was the hotel right across the street from the Trim Castle, where they filmed Braveheart.
And what I remember was you were saying how expensive gas was. It was like $6 a gallon. We said, oh, my God, we can't imagine it would ever get to those poor. Look, we are now.
So what is it for them
now?
Yeah,
it's probably 9 for them.
I can imagine 9-10. Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely increased.
And Corey Eubanks, he's moved from above Santa Barbara up there in Buellton to Texas, and he went and he filled up his truck, and it took $450 worth of diesel.
Yeah,
diesel was $9.05 a gallon up there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's highway robbery, for crying out loud.
It is.
That's what we're living in.
Smooth. Yeah, it's a shame. That's what we're living in. Yeah. It's incredible.
So, Tom, I want to say for the people who don't know, you were the lead mechanic on the Dukes of Hazzard TV show from 79 to 85.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you got into the stunt stuff later on after the show. But you have a book.
After the show, I did about 10 years on a Screen Actors Guild contract.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And now you have a book coming out that we want you to talk about and tell people about it and how they can get it.
That's what we're here for. And it's coming out in September. They haven't given me an exact date, but it's going to be in September. So what we're doing is if you want to get a hold of the book or order a copy, send me an email and with your name and address and everything so we can at least get you typed up and put in there. The book is going to sell for, a signed book is going to sell for $30.
Mm-hmm.
And, the way I've got it figured, for U.S. mail and U.S. mail only, we can ship it media mail and it will cost $6. And if you want it priority mail, it'll cost you $12.
Okay.
Those are the post office's standards on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be sending you an email today to get on that list. I went to lunch with Mike at the deli a couple of weeks ago. You know what? Two sandwiches, a couple sides, and some drinks. That was $30. So this book is a bargain, let me tell you.
Considering,
the lunch was good, too.
I'm going to have Billy make a deal with his new owner and put a little card table and be out there and selling books.
Little kiosk. He can sit there and sign autographed books while I'm going.
I'll send him to you already autographed.
Listen, this is what he wants. He just wants a pastrami sandwich. This is all about.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I can't believe you sold the deli. What am I going to do for pastrami now?
Cucumber salad. I'm jonesing over that. That was my favorite.
Yeah. Those were my faves too.
This is the first time I've actually walked in here empty-handed. And I feel like a dirt bag.
I know. Bill, you're going to a big cooler filled with stuff.
Billy, besides, what's Uncle Tommy going to do?
Oh, this is killing him. This is like he's got his rounds that he has to make every day. Where he comes in, he gets coffee. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you guys ever met my Uncle Tommy at a car show.
I did.
My Uncle Tommy owned a container company, but he owns probably 20 or so classic cars. Mm-hmm. So he's in a different car all the time. Mm. So everybody says, "Oh, that's your uncle, the guy with all the cars," But anyway, he would come in and make his rounds, make coffee, come in, get this, get that, get, whatever. And it was like his spot to go to, his go-to thing. And if he had nothing to do, he would just come down and hang out. So when he found out I was selling the store, he was like, "I think you're making a big mistake."
Right.
So I'm like, "Buddy, quality of life. I want to save my marriage. I have a little boy at home." And he's like, no. So, but anyway, but...
he'll live.
Yes, he will live, and hopefully we will too.
Anyway, where we left off on where you can get the book. It would be Hazzard County at carolina.rr.com. And remember, two Z's in Hazzard.
Right,
I know that.
Yes, I see the email. You have a contact page here on your website, the official website of Tom Sarmento. I'm looking at it now.
I also found out Tom has an Instagram page that had like two posts, but I added them anyway. So
you'll either get a hold of me or Phyllis Hinkle, and she runs my web page, and the web isn't quite finished yet. That is being run from a guy in Germany.
Okay.
And it's still in the process of him finishing up the website. So hopefully it'll be done for the book, before that worldwide website is more or less for people around the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So what prompted you to sit down and write a book, Tom?
Billy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Listen.
One word, Billy.
For what it's worth, okay, and I've said this before, that I have been so privileged just to be a fly on the wall, between when just I always asked Tom 101 questions. I always had questions about this question, not just car stuff, but as far as scenes and different, you know, scenes from the TV show. But right. One of the things that that I truly enjoyed, anytime we did a show and Big Don was involved, or Sonny with, you know, with Enos.
Sonny Shore, right? Don Pedro Colley.
With Teddy Barba. And the one time we had Bobby Orison out. It was, like, fantastic. It was, like, for me, I was like a kid in a candy store, because here's these guys. They're talking about the old, not just the old days. And as we get older, we find ourselves talking about the old days and strolling back down on memory lane, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, the great thing is I'm hearing about all these stories and the, you know, and the fun that they had, you know, while working. And work should not be a four-letter word. Okay, right. Work. I mean, you know, like I said, these guys had a lot of fun. They had a lot of joking around to do. They had a lot of, you know, but it was, you know, it came time to work. They worked.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, for me, it was the greatest thing. And I say this, I had to bring Don, and I believe it was I had to bring, I think, Bobby. And maybe Don and Tom back to the hotels. Maybe Teddy. And we are all driving around. We're driving in my Navigator, and I'm driving. And I took the scenic route just so they would continue to talk. And me, I didn't say a word. They had no idea. I mean, the three of these guys have no idea where they are on Long Island. So I kind of took the scenic route. I took another half an hour just so they can continue to talk. And
hey, what bridge is that?
Don't worry about it, you know. Canadian border. No. So,
but, so you were basically like an uncle in a deli.
Oh, God.
Instead of a kid in a candy shop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But let me tell you, and it's like I said, I feel so privileged. And you know, a lot of people will say, oh, they only used 200 cars on the Dukes. I'm like, no, they did not. They used more than 200. They used, you know, 317 cars. You know, so like I said, just knowing all these things and getting to hear this and different things. And the great thing with Tom, and we don't even have to be talking about something. We can just be, you know, whatever. You know, Tom would say, hey, what kind of alternator do you have? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I have the two-wire. He goes, nah, put the single wire in there. It's better. And do the, you know, so, like I said, all this, like, knowledge and you know, it just comes in. It just comes into fruition.
Sure.
And, you know, and me, I'm very blessed with the book because I'm happy to see it because I have vested interest in this book because, you know, the young man that's on the cover, you know, was standing next to my car. So I feel very blessed in that sense.
I think once I get my copy, my signed copy, I'm going to have to come out and have you sign it too.
There you go. It, you know, Billy, you know, we were in New York. There is on the cover is we shot it someplace where we were overlooking the ocean. And, you know, we were in a parking lot. And, that turned out to be the best picture that everybody liked. There's another one of me at the Atlanta Motor Speedway that I've been using all those years. But, you know, for the book, we figured we'd do something different. And, you know, it isn't on the dirt roads or anything else like that, like back in Hazard, you know. But here I've got this beautiful car that belonged to Billy. And he said, take it. I think his son was at, they were doing
Soapbox Derby with the Cub Scouts that day. That's right. And in fact, they had asked because one of the kids, one of the Cub Scouts, made a General Lee-style soapbox car. So they said, oh, Billy, can you bring the car down? And we had a car show that weekend. Wow. I think it was out here. I think it was
the cruise to the show.
You
said, yeah.
So, and Tom was out, and and it was, I said, you know what? I said, if this works, it'll work out nicely because I'm not only am I going to bring the car, I'm going to bring Tom too.
Right.
So for all the kids had no idea who Tom was. They just thought it was kind of cool and stuff. But, you know, for all the parents, like, oh my God, this is like the real deal. This is the guy. They're, you know, they thought that was like super cool.
Yeah.
So here's Tom signing off on this guy's soapbox car. And I talked to the kid's dad who owns that car. He goes, that thing's in the garage. It's hanging up. He goes, it's got Tom's signature on it. He goes, that's, you know, he goes, not only did he win the Soapbox Derby.
Oh, great.
He says, yeah, because he came in first place. He goes, not only did he win the Soapbox Derby. He goes, that's like our, you know, our little shrine in the garage.
Did Tom, like, whisper a couple cheats to the kid for how to, like, make the wheels spin a little better or, you know, maybe a little couple of.
Tom just. Yeah.
Stay away from the hay bales.
Oh, it's hay bales.
Watch out for the hay bales and, you know, keep between the ditches, stuff like that.
Right. Those, yeah. Right, right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we were able to, we brought the car. We were over at Tiana Beach in East Quogue, and you have the beach and the Ponquag Bridge in the background. So it's a real, real nice shot, a nice picture. So,
yeah.
And everybody loved that shot, so.
So that's going to be the cover. You know, mm-hmm. I had a paper. Wait a minute.
And I was going to say, on Long Island, it's not too hard to find a good water shot.
You know, that is true.
I don't know if you guys can see that.
Hold it up just a little higher, Tom. Yes, that's the picture I saw. I did see that, yes, this morning, yeah.
It says beautiful. The general, and it's that's there, the picture.
The man behind the general.
The man behind the general, right.
Man behind the general.
Great
that's
picture.
That's going to be the cover on the book.
Nice. Nice three-quarter shot of the car. Perfect. Good car photography etiquette. That's excellent.
So it's safe to say that it's the book is going to be all about the stories and
well, you know, what it is, it's my biography.
Oh.
It starts off when I was born in Rhode Island, East Providence, Rhode Island, 1946.
Mm-hmm.
And then it continues on with some pictures of me and my brothers and the girl next door, a neighbor when she's 5 and 6 years old, you know.
Right.
And it goes through high school with my, I had a 55 Nash Rambler.
Oh, yeah.
And it had all these rust holes in it. My dad says, hey, you fix all the rust holes, I'll help you paint it. So we painted it black with a white top. It looked like a skunk. And that body style, that four-door, flathead six, three-speed on the column. And I busted an axle on that. And then my folks got the money together to buy me a 57 Bel Air Chevy convertible.
Ooh, nice.
It was black with a white top, the red and silver.
See a trend here.
Interior. And, you know, that's the car I used until, you know, I got out of high school. And when I got out of high school, my friend Terry, he wanted me to join the Air Force. And I says, I already joined the Marines. He goes, wow. You made a big mistake, pal. And it goes on from there. It goes on when I joined the Marines and a little bit about boot camp. And it then it goes into when I volunteered to go to Vietnam. I was in a base in North Carolina, Lejeune, Camp Lejeune. Mm-hmm. I think they call it Camp Lejeune or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I've never seen cockroaches that big in all my life in those barracks.
Wow.
And I just couldn't wait to get out of there. And so the corporal comes in. He goes, I need 3 volunteers to go to Vietnam. I had never heard of Vietnam.
Oh, jeez.
He says, you're going to get 30 days liberty at home, and you're going to California for some training. Shit. No problem there. I'm going to California. You know? So I had my 30 days leave with my folks. They weren't really happy that I volunteered to go to Vietnam, but I ended up in Vietnam. And then I tell some stories there. And then when I got out of Vietnam, I went to work for Chrysler. Chrysler closed the dealership. I went to Rich Sefton, the guy that I had as a mechanic running the garage. I went on working on BJ and the Bear, Quincy, a few other pictures. And then I got to Dukes of Hazzard. And what I do is I cover Dukes of Hazzard more than anything. That was one of the biggest parts of my life, even more than the stunt work. You know, I mean, the stunt work was good. It was exciting. I learned a lot, from the stunt guys and, on the set, Jerry Summers, Al Wyatt, Bobby Urson, watching them, you had all this knowledge on what to do, what not to do.
Mm.
And then it goes on, through...
Well, yeah, you came in after being a line mechanic, so you had the ultimate training with the cars anyway. I mean, you were a top shelf mechanic, so
The only thing that I really didn't do, I didn't overhaul transmissions, and I really didn't like front end work. That took too long. I did quick service, and you know, I could do almost anything, and so I had a really good knowledge about those cars, and you know, those cars were new when I was working at the dealership.
Yeah.
You know, I started the dealership in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Hemis, and so it goes all the way through to, you know, where my career's at now, doing shows for the fans, and we've hooked up with the Moonshiners, people from the Moonshiners show.
Oh, the TV show,
Uncle Jesse, he was a Moonshiner. That's why the boys were in trouble all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's so many, and I didn't really want to mention any names in there. So what I did is I mentioned the flavors of the moonshine that they make. You know, they make apple pie. They make strawberry watermelon. They cherry bounce. You know, so by the time I figured out, I had 17 different flavors that I've sampled over the last few years.
Sounds like we're going to have to get you into a program there, Mr. Sarmento.
Yes.
I want to go down there first and make sure. Let's officiate.
We want to try this moonshine first and
see
if
everything is correct. Yeah, I want to make sure it's
Listen, I had the opportunity. We did a show in Maryland, and one of the moonshine guys was there.
Hmm.
And we had such a good time.
Hmm.
And the guy who was there, this particular
it was Josh.
He's the guy with the big jowls and the big sideburns.
Mm-hmm.
What a fun animated guy!
Wow.
He's literally, you know, the life of the party.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we had such a good. We had a lot of laughs. We used my car as his backdrop. Anybody who wanted to take a picture,
yeah.
So it was kind of cool. And one thing that we always do, and I did this with Corey, I did this with, I think we did this with Wopat, and we had Josh. Corey, I had, when we did the stunt with my car, I had Corey call up my wife and say, hey, Jennifer, really, really nice to talk to you, but I'm kind of in a little problem here. I took your husband's car for a ride and I crashed, and he's really mad at me. So my wife, of course, you know, because she loves this orange car so much because it's so consuming. So she says, that's okay. She goes, Tom will take it. Give it, you know, so whatever.
Tom will fix it.
So anyway, we have Josh call up and says, hey, Jennifer, this here's Josh Owens. So she goes, okay. And she knows who he is because she was watching the Moonshine Show before I was, because it was on 9 o'clock at night and, you know, Mr. Spring Chicken, I was already asleep because I had to be up at 4 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, and I'm like, how do you watch this stuff, you know? So anyway, so she knows who Josh is. So she says, hey, he goes, I got a problem. I brought some moonshine down here and your husband done drank it all. And he won't pay me. So she says, fine, in lieu of payment, take the car.
No.
You know, So when I tell you we had such a good time, let me tell you, a lot of laughs, a lot of good time.
Yeah.
And, you know, second to none.
So
right now, Tom is hooked up with a good group. So there's a lot of, there's got to be a lot of interesting read because we had a lot of laughs.
I'll tell you what else is second to none, and it's our bottom of the hour break. We need to take that. Let me do my read here first. I had to tell you about this show called Radio Rumble on this station, Saturdays at noon. And there's a vast knowledge of pop culture and a unique sense of humor, hosted by Justin Greenberg. He brings your show unlike any other, playing everything from classic rock hits from the 50s all the way to today's superstars. And I have heard him. He does play a lot of stuff that surprises me for a younger guy, so I like that. Chris, do you have the honor group of the hour for us today?
Of course. This is Motormouth Radio, and of course, every bottom of the hour of this fine, upstanding program, we have the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. And this week, the honor group is, if you can identify every vehicle, make, and model from every year from the 1920s on up, but draw a complete blank for every car past the year 2008. Can you spot every intricate detail of an automobile to tell which year it was from? Can you delineate when an owner swapped out a set of wheels from a different year car or revise the color or trim, and you know that it's from a different model of your vehicle? Do you know when a car received a different engine from another vehicle and you know the minute details of that swap, but you have to ask someone else when the make or model of any car past 2008, you got to ask them like you're an 8-year-old. So if you're an automotive know-it-all for every vehicle up to around 2008 and don't have a clue of what car is which car is which past that, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
Nice.
That ought to be very interesting.
Exactly. So what we're going to do is we'll take an abbreviated break. We'll take a shorter one. Tom, I picked out a song I took a little liberty with this one, picking it out for you because people would say.
I can only guess.
Well, I think the one that you're probably guessing is the one I started the show with, but have that on a replay. No, this is a different one by Whale, and we'll be back in a couple minutes with more Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Tom Someto, and Bill Wondolowski in the studio with me today. So keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Autovision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y sí, hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
The chances you're taking, loving a free living man.
All right, we're a little bit crazy, like Tom, like Waylon, like John, like everybody. Ray, Chris, Tom, and Bill in with you today talking about the Dukes, Tom's new book, and all sorts of cool stuff. Gentlemen, let's kick off the second half of the show. What do we got going on?
So what
do you want to talk about?
Give me a highlight of the book, just a little tease, Tom, of a story. What would be a
put your mic in front of your face, Chris?
Oh, sorry.
There it is. We can hear him now.
A tease or a highlight of a story.
Well, there are so many stories. I mean, you know, I tell a lot of funny stories between Corey Eubanks and Al Wyatt Jr. You know, there's this. I'm going to tell you this one little short story. What we did is Paul Baxley said he wanted new batteries in all these cars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no problem. You know, the studio's paying for it. Warner, you know, Dukes, they're paying for it. We put all new batteries in all the cars. Every car got a new battery. Well, so what? All of a sudden, you know, Corey and Alan are riding. Corey is driving. Alan is passenger. So they're waiting for Paul Baxley's command, you know, to come ahead. So Paul goes, "Come ahead, Corey. Action, action, action." And Alan reaches over, takes the key, throws it out the window. "Corey, come ahead. Action, action, action." And Corey, all he could think of is, "Sir, the car won't start." The next thing I hear is, "Tommy Sarmento, you get a battery in that car and then I want to see you."
Oh, boy.
So I come Brought it up there with Jack Oates' station wagon and got a battery and went over there at Open Hood and Corey goes, Tommy, it isn't the battery. He said, Alan threw the keys out the window, so the car won't start. And that's all Paul Baxley heard is the car won't start. So it was my fault. So then I says, Corey, you better tell Paul you got to have another car. So, you know, we brought up another car. So Alan would never, or Corey would never tell on Alan. He would never say, you know, Alan threw the car keys out the window.
And he didn't give it away.
But see, there was nothing I could do to, you know, I could have started it without the key, but then that would have just created another problem. So I bring him up another car, and then on that one, we couldn't find the key, so I had to put another ignition. It was easy.
How did you clear it with the head office on that one when your head was still on the chopping block?
Yeah.
It was always on the chopping block with those two. I mean, and, you know, in the book, there's a very interesting story, and it's told by Corey Eubanks at the time he was 16. And you know what? I'm gonna let you guys read that story.
Okay.
Corey's had it on Stunt Stories a couple times.
I'm already thinking that now.
Mm-hmm. And the interview is, you know, we did, it's all in, what do they call it, italics or something like that, you know, so it's, but it's Corey's story. I couldn't tell it. I got the brunt of it. And he didn't tell me that he did that, what he did when he was 16 before he was on the show. He waited 2 years.
Yeah.
And then he tells me, after we got to be really good friends.
And he was messed up. I'm already thinking now. I just had a picture in my head of the recent Barrett Jackson auction. You know, they have the keys with a big zip tie around the steering column, so you can't lose the keys of that car. I think that would have been good to, you know, put on like a on
that
a
wouldn't have stopped Al Wyatt.
Yeah, probably not. Just have every car with just, you can just start it without a key. You know, that's what I, to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, you know.
Wow.
Alan can break anything.
Good thing you can fix anything.
Alan had, I didn't mention this in the book, but we were having problems with the emergency brakes, locking up. And Alan actually hit that emergency brake so hard. It's mounted on the bulkhead. Well, it ripped it off the bulkhead.
Wow.
And he did it so hard, I had all new, the car almost slid and hit camera. Mm. And they thought it was my fault.
Of course.
And, you know, so then we went out there and we had to take pictures, and we could only use Polaroids back then because we had no cell phones.
Sure.
And, you know, it had all brand new brake shoes, all hardware, wheel cylinders, everything was brand new. He sheared those anchor pins right off the backing plates.
Wow.
You know?
That's crazy.
I mean, Alan could break anything.
Wow.
And he was very, very strong. And, you know, and he's the only one that went well over. No, only one on the show that we know of that went over 200 feet on a jump. Alan went 237 feet on that jump.
Wow, that's wild.
He's got a pair of flip flops on for shoes. he's got a 5-point harness. He's got knee pads. He's got a neck brace, a helmet. And that's it. And he goes 237 feet and generally over the train on Granny Annie. And, of course, the car was destroyed on the way down.
Sure.
But the only one to come close to that would be Gary Baxley, and that's that one over the Styx River. That's with all the dust trailing in the opening credits.
Tom,
and, oh, wow.
Let me ask you a question, Tom.
I consider that like the most beautiful jump, you know.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
How has safety on the set and in stunt work changed from then to today?
Oh, geez. Yeah. It's like me, you know. Computers, you know, I could maybe figure it out writing it out a little bit, you know, and dialing up a number. Think about it. Since we got cell phones, you don't have all those phone numbers stored in your head anymore.
No.
There's a big part of your brain that's not even being used anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right? Sure.
And with the cell phone.
It's a www dot portion of the brain.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There was no such thing. No. You know, and if you think back, you know, for the guys like AJ, when they're making all this stuff, all that metal had to be hand cut. They had no such thing as a plasma cutter in those days.
Right. Yeah.
And now everything is done by robot.
You do it with a torch.
On a computer. And it just goes, you know. Right. And, you know, so, you know, the computer world, yeah, I guess it's for the new kids.
Well,
you know, my grandkids can operate my cell phone better than I can.
You hand it to them. Say, here, take care of this. Set this up for me.
They can't drive on two wheels, though, so.
Well, no, they can't.
Yeah.
Buzz Buddy's the only one that can drive on two wheels. You know? And, you know, Billy's car, well, Billy, are cinders still coming out of your car onto your garage floor?
Big time.
When Corey used on that racetrack?
Big time.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, we had a little fun, and I'm sure this is not in the book, so I'm sure I could talk.
Oh, you see what it's like to have to text and do a radio show now, huh? Yeah, it's not so easy. Yeah.
All smoke and mirrors until it's down.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, someone loses an eye.
That's right. Before Corey did his stunt, he's pacing around like, you know, like a tiger in a cage, you know, at the zoo. And so Tom comes over and goes, Billy, I got to talk to you. I said, what's up? He goes, it's Corey. I said, what's up with Corey? Because he's got to blow off some steam. I said, what do you mean? So, and he goes, he's got to kind of, you know, he needs to calm down. He's got to, you know, I said, well, what's the problem? What does he need? He goes, he's got to blow off some steam. So I'm like, is it involved? Like, you want me to go find a lady? Does he need like some sort of drugs, or does he need like, you know, a fifth of Jim Beam? What are we talking here?
Does he need a punching bag?
What are we talking about? Does he want to do some push-ups? So what are we doing here? So he says, he's going to take your car for a ride. I said, no problem. So we go around this track. Now it's correct me if I'm wrong, it's like a trotter type track. It's a horse track where they do like a horse with a single buggy.
Yeah.
And they go around. It's probably, what do you think, Tom, a 2 mile track? Give or take?
No, I would say maybe a mile track.
Maybe a mile? Okay. Well, anyway, so we go around this track. Now there's security there, and he gets in my car. And he says, do yourself a favor. I says, yeah, what's that? So I get in the front with him, and another guy, Scott, gets in the back. And he says, get yourself some good lap belts. So I says, okay. So he says, yeah. He goes, they'll hold you down to the car. He goes, it's really good to have in case you roll over and stuff. He goes, and make your roll bar functional. So I said, okay. So we start driving around this track. And he goes, man, Tommy's right. This car feels good. So he starts going a little faster. Next thing you know, I don't know how fast we're going because, you know, I can't see. And I'm pinned to the to the side of the car.
After the secondary's open.
Oh, he drifted this car around the track, and there was mud everywhere. There was mud on the car. And there's no secret that I'm a little meticulous about you know, who I am. About, you know, keeping my car clean. There was this mud, this particular main mud, under the car, inside the car, all over the car, under the hood. I mean, you name it was everywhere. Wow. And you heard the rocks flying, and it was, you know, but like I said, it was something that I'll never ever forget in my life. It was so much fun. So with that, we're flying around the track, and people are like either running away or they're coming to like with video to to, you know, with cameras to get pictures and video. We had such a good time. I think I'm going to die. And he goes, by the way, he goes, how much air are in these tires? I said, about 32. He goes, yeah, that should be okay. He goes, we should be okay.
We should
so,
be.
But I mean, he's as calm as a cucumber, as calm as a cucumber.
Right.
And Scott's in the back. I'm like, Scott, are you okay back there? He goes, listen, if you're going to get sick, I'm like, throw up outside of the car, please. You know?
Yeah.
So not that it mattered at that point, because
no.
The car was full of, oh, we had a blast. And so finally he stops, and security is like ready to throw us off the location, and we're trying to explain to him, we're doing a stunt here later on in a little while, and the guy's like, I don't care, you're doing a stunt, you're out of here.
Yeah.
That's it, you know, you guys are all going to jail. And I'm like, great, I need to go to jail.
Yeah.
I could use some vacation time.
Now.
The guy's like, yeah. So anyway, so that the guys who put the whole event together, they're over talking to the security. But Corey gets out of the car. He goes, cool car, man. He goes, I want to do that again. So Scott gets out. He's got birds flying around his head like he's dizzy and stuff. And I'm like, we lived, you know. So, but what a good time. So we had a lot of laughs. So there's mud under my car that will stay there forever.
That's great.
So some guys undercoat their car. I have under mud my car.
Under mud, yeah.
So compliments of Corey. So anytime Tom talks to Corey, he's like, hey, is Billy still pissed at me? He's like, ah, don't worry about it. He's always cleaning that car.
It's all right.
So, in fact,
that's one of the very few Generalese that Corey has driven that somebody else owned. Uh-huh. You know, now he's driven my cars, and he's also driven the cars that I built on the stunt shows. But to take somebody's car like Billy's and drive it around the track and beat it, you know, I got to do burnouts with Billy's car, you know, usually leaving the Richard Petty shows for Brenda Walls. And, you know, and Billy couldn't bring it to the last show that she was having. And we figured he had one more set of a good burnout set, you know, left on those tires. One more good burnout.
Right.
Maybe I'll get back to New York.
Tom, is Billy's car... I guess you could say this may be high praise, but is it like almost now integral to the continuation of the show? It's now become part of the after show, the post show.
Yes, it has now, you know, with Corey driving it. And, you know, I would probably put Billy's car as one of the ones that is actually bulletproof. Now, Alan would break it.
Yeah.
something would break on Billy's car. But, you know, once Billy got the steering gearbox fixed on that thing and put the lap belts in it, I mean, Corey, he would tear the tires right off that car. I mean.
That's, you know, if you don't beat him to it.
You know, Billy's car could actually really do probably a 60, 70, maybe 80-foot mini jump, you know, on 16-inch high ramps. And that car is so good, when it comes down, it would have very little damage.
Tom, I got a question for you. I noticed there's two of you in the room that you're in. Nobody else except us can see that. But how do we get our own doubles in a room like you? What's going on there?
You know, I had heart surgery during one of them, and they wouldn't let me out of the hospital. You know, I had a quadruple bypass, and I missed the show. So Billy had this made up with his sign guy, and they carried it around. And for all the pictures, all the group pictures, I was still in all the group pictures.
So that's why your right arm is missing.
We went to Maryland for the show that he normally goes to, and it was like, oh, it's not going to be the same without Tom. And I'm like, I gotcha.
Right.
So I had this picture of him. So we had the sign guy make a cardboard cutout, and we had a lot of laughs. We passed it around like it was Flat Stanley. We had such a good time with him. I think this picture's of Linda Vaughn giving it a nice big kiss.
Nice. So.
But I did get the actual kiss from her the next year.
Yeah. She made up for it. So
that's what you get, because I saw the cardboard cutout in the background over your shoulder, and I'm laughing over it.
I was going to put it back there, you know? I said, I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but, you know, it's back there.
Right.
I tell you,
only you, Billy, would come up with a scam like that. That's great.
And I noticed the right arm is missing, so when you stood next to it, it looks like
that's
Tom's
right.
arms around
Tom's
you.
Around
right.
you. So
very
yeah,
good.
Exactly.
Well, it looked like somebody. I had my arm around somebody. That was
yeah.
right.
Very good. Very good.
You know. But,
so Tom, how you feeling now?
Well, I feel pretty good now. You know, and you know, I've had a few more stints with the hospital. You know, but. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still above ground.
Right.
You know,
we love that.
And I use that term in my book. It's always nice to be, you know, see, it's a good day when you're still above ground.
Yeah, I always say I'm in pretty good, I feel pretty good for considering the shape I'm in. You know, it's a,
yeah.
But that's right.
Yeah.
As long as you don't wake up and see dirt, it's good.
Yep.
What we'll do is, you know, we'll let the people know, you know, about the book one more time.
Yes, sure. Do that because
well,
we're
the great close thing. The great thing is when it does come out, it's you know give or take September. You know that's right before Christmas. This is a great gift idea.
Yes, it is.
And listen, there's no secret that I'm a super fan, but anybody that I'm telling that you know that my car's on, everybody's like, get me a copy of this book. I want a copy of this
yeah,
book.
Yeah.
So and I'm saying this is such a great gift idea. I know what I'm going to do for Christmas. I know what I'm going to do for gifts. And mm-hmm. you know, like I said, I mean, we all should be reading more. You know, we should stay off of Netflix and you know and kind of
you know what? Maybe you should be the East Coast distributor rep for the book too. You
well,
know?
I do. I am currently unemployed.
Hey,
so.
I got some time too. I come help you out. We'll set up a kiosk. You know, give me an orange shirt.
You know,
we'll sell books.
You know,
listen,
really,
I got my orange really, Stub Team shirt on.
You, I'll send you a packet of booklets, you know, of books, you know, probably, you know, 20, 25 books. And you can sit up there at the store.
Perfect. Perfect. I don't have a store anymore.
Right.
They'll kick me out.
We'll find one. That's
we'll find
right.
a store for me. Okay, good.
We'll find one.
Yeah, there you go. But I think it's a fun read, and it's a G-rated book. There's no bad words.
Right.
You know, I don't mention any of the actors in there by name because, you know, it's my story. It's about me. Some of the funny things that went in. I don't recall many bad things. You know, I mean.
That's good.
There was tough situations that I was in, but you
sure.
know. Everybody has that when they got a job.
Well, like I said in the past, like I said before, there was, you know, many stories that you guys had talked about and told, and it sounds like you guys had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. So, and that's a key ingredient to any work environment. You got to laugh, you got to have a good time, you know, you got to be, you know, it's part of a group, you know, it's, you know, it's healthy.
You know, life can't be all work and no play.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, I used to tell my wife that all the time when I had the deli. You know, listen, what are you guys doing watching TV? You know, did you want us to actually work all day? Come on,
right.
Gotta have a TV on. It's for the customers.
Well,
you know?
Our work is coming to an end. Kim's going to be in here about another minute, so we're going to have to wrap this. Tom, I thank you for coming on with us. It's been a few years. We missed you. We talk about you all the time, and Billy, you too. Your name comes up in conversation.
Let's see if we can schedule something in September.
Okay, you
know, you
got it.
Just before the book comes out, I'll have a lot more information on a delivery date on the book. You know, and I don't know if we can talk after this is on this air. Is everything that's going away or what?
Yeah, on the Zoom meeting we can't because Kim comes in to do her show. So this we have to end this meeting. We'll have to do it. We could call maybe Billy and I. We can give him a call. And we can talk
if
that's what you want to do. But yeah, I'll put a note in my book for September. And we will we'll have
now. The only thing I can't do in September would be during Duke's Fest or the Duke's Festival, and that is the third week in September. It is the matter of fact, Duke's Fest is going to be the 23rd, 24th, and 25th of September, and Kathy's going to be there. Tom Wopat's going to be there. Rick Hurston's going to be there. And, you know, I'll be back. And, you know, Kate Kilmer will be there. Now, that's Kathy's first stunt double.
Okay.
So, well, not only first, actually, she was the only stunt double she really had.
Except for Corey.
You know, after the first eight episodes.
All right. We will get you back on sometime in September, early in the month, I guess. And
yes.
And we'll do that, Bill, and
yeah.
put that on your...
Oh, most definitely. Just pencil me in. Because like I said, I am currently unemployed, so I have nothing else to do other than what my wife tells me.
I put, yeah, so, you exactly.
Tom, anything else you want to tell me or anything before we hang up?
No, just tell young Daniel I said, hey.
You got it.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you very much for coming on with us on Motormouth Radio, and we'll talk again in a few months, and stay well. We look forward to seeing you then.
Good being with you guys.
Thanks. And Chris, what are we always
saying? Always a pleasure.
What are we always saying, yeah. Chris, before we get out of here?
Don't follow us home, but if you're following us home with the Dukes of Hazzard Charger, we'll take that. You can follow us home.
There you got it. All right. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Tom Salmento, Bill Waldowski, thank you, gentlemen. Stay tuned for Kim's show, and we'll see you next week. Bye. We'll be right back.